line. We got Sully Costello coming up, and we got Jason Berman's riding shotgun. Let's do a new big news blitz I haven't covered yet. At the end of the show, I covered some of the about two-thirds of the stack is still here. Vital info on a host of issues. One of these articles alone, I could spend all day. The mainstream news now admitting everything we warned them about for the last 13 years. It's all Pentagon design, face scanning, retina scanning, thumbprinting everywhere to buy and sell. It's going to go in everywhere. The license plate scanners are following you. They want you to know now your walk. AI computer systems watching everything you do from the time you leave your home, everything you purchase. I mean, just no Fourth Amendment, total microscope, total tyranny, while the government makes everything they do, like the criminal banker takeover bailout, secret. And the White House press secretary says, well, we just need to trust our Treasury Secretary. I mean, folks, it is just, they are going for broke, Burmese.
Yeah, and they're integrating new systems all the time. You know, I have my little Price Chopper card to get my discount because I can't get anything on sale anymore. They make you carry the card.
They actually use that to war game to figure out what people can't. It's a complex algorithm to screw you.
And even better now, Alex, they have now teamed up with Sunoco. So now when I use my card, I get 10, 20, 30 cents off gas. So now they get me twice. All right, now if I go
linking
shopping.
Linking databases.
Absolutely linking databases. And how can you not do it? I mean, you know you're going to shop there anyway. You know gas is over $3 a gallon.
How can you not do it, Burmese? You're so worldly.
I know it's tough.
You just buy into everything they do.
I'm saying for the average person, groceries have gone up. Gas has gone up.
Because they know how to grit us now. It's all psychological system, warfare system to destroy us.
And I know, and I get caught up in these systems. I mean, Alex, my two choices in my town is I can go to the Walmart, which is total Chinese slave labor. Everybody should go out and see Walmart. The high cost of low prices is a real eye-opener.
Or yeah, you live in rural upstate New York.
Yeah, or I can go to Price Chopper. Now, I can either give my money to these slave masters at Walmart, or I can give my money to these new control masters at Price Chopper, who are now not only tracking what I eat and buy.
Well, if you're going to do it, you should at least give them disinfo name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't use my own card, actually. I use one of my college friends' little card. That is true. It's
now, let me tell you what they when I found this out 11 years ago in federal documents, we covered them on air at the time. I don't even remember what they were now.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go pull it up. You'll find it. Everything I tell you is documented. But today my memory's not working too well. The point is, it said they're going to have a national sales tax, but they're going to keep the income tax. They're just going to rename it.
Mm-hmm.
So all these fair tax. Yeah, folks, just wait. Fine. Believe that I'm lying and just find out.
Mm-hmm.
You want it? Fine. Just, you know what? Have it. I told you the banks were hoarding all the money. Now it's mainstream news. You're not going to get any of it. All you're going to get is a barrel in the mouth from some idiot.
And that's New York Times today, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But the point here is that I don't even care anymore. Why should I tell them? The point is they're getting you ready to show your ID and thumbprint to buy and sell for a national sales tax, which is going to be graduated. They're going, oh, it's fair. If you're poor, you won't pay. But that's only at first. And they're going to track everything you do. Then they're going to have social workers come after you saying you're eating unhealthy food, environmental police. It's going to be carbon credits. It's all official. It's all hell, okay? It's hell.
And that'll even tie into Codex Alimentarius, which you discussed really briefly earlier, where they're literally trying to now regulate what we eat. You know,
there's no end to it, Burmese.
There isn't an end. And Codex Alimentarius, I encourage people out there to go look into it because there really has not been a mainstream work or even a non-mainstream work, an alternative work that's gone big. And this is something people need to know about. They're trying to put this legislation through in 2011 or 2012 at the latest. And I think it's scary that
a lot of that's red herring.
Mm-hmm.
They're already putting in Codex Alimentarius under other names.
Mm-hmm.
They're already cracking down on vitamin makers and others. Of course, there's a few bad apples, a few bad examples. But they won't even regulate vitamin C and stuff. They're already doing it at the state level. They're threatening vitamin companies to incriminate themselves. I got a bunch of news I never got to about that last week. Folks, we're getting hit from too many sides here. I can't even keep track of it anymore. It's everything we told you and worse. It's happening faster than I thought.
Oh, God. Well, we're at the tip of the spear, Alex, and we just got to keep pressing forward, man, and trying to take this Goliath down.
We don't have a choice, and they're building a psychological, technological enslavement grid. They say that's what it is. And Katie barred the door because, I mean, these people are a bunch of eugenicists. Look at Paulson. He's the Nature Conservancy former head. He admits he's anti-human. I mean, they hate us, man. They hate us. We'll be right back.
I'm as fine as hell. There are not going to take us anymore.
Well, I wish we could have him on under better circumstances. You know, again, our listeners, we didn't used to do it a lot. We do it more and more, trying to help people under stress. And you praised quite a bit for his defense, but not enough. And obviously it was a rigged game. So now I guess he's going to try to appeal or going away for 3 years. Sully Costello, who was an Army sniper in Vietnam, he was then a sheriff's deputy down on the border. He then was a DEA agent, the head guy down there over quite a few in Central and South America and Mexico. Witnessed government drug dealing, shipping narcotics into the United States out of Elapango and others. And Sully likes to go to gun shows and sell his book, Powder Burns. And I remember going back, must have been like, now when I first interviewed Sully and talked to him probably about 8 years ago, and then Kevin Booth made the Drug War film that's been on national television, and they really got mad. They even mentioned that when they set him up and arrested him. Oh, the guy on TV. That's been, won a bunch of awards, been on Showtime, and instantly we have that video available on DVD at Infowars.com, American Drug War. It's 2 hours long with 3 hours of extras, really like 5 hours, five-hour film. Got shut up. So, Shelly, why don't you recap, first off, we're praying for him. We tried our best to help you here. First off, about how you got set up, what happened in the trial, because you haven't been speaking a lot during the trial, keeping your head down, I guess like your lawyers told you. But recap what happened for folks and then what unfolded during the trial, Shelly.
Well, from the get-go, Alex, I knew that I hadn't done anything illegal, and I complained to the agents about it and so forth. And my attorney brought this to the attention of the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they said, no, Sally, he's guilty. You know, he's going to do this and that and this and that. Well, bottom line, Alex, 7 months later, on October 1st, the government dismissed my case completely. Under Polk versus U.S., and I wasn't a prohibited person, and what I was doing was not against the law. So when I went up there before to get my charges dropped, well, lo and behold, the U.S. prosecutor comes out with two new charges, and it's selling guns without a license, and added and abating on selling license without a license.
So it really is double jeopardy because, I mean, it's not the classic double jeopardy, but it is. You're found not, it's thrown out, and so they just slap more on you.
Well, yeah, exactly. They realized they made a mistake, and basically what happened, they weren't about to let me go.
Well, let's go back to the original case, how they set you up. I mean, you're not some big gun dealer. You're allowed to have private sales.
Well, exactly. You know, I was at the gun shows, and I was, doing like what have other vendors do at the gun shows, you know. And
it's like you told me about 4 years ago when I saw you at the gun show.
Yeah.
I said, oh, last time I didn't see you selling guns, and you had two or three on the table.
Yeah.
You said, yeah, I can't even afford to drive around Texas a few times a month as a school teacher, the gas, to sell five or six books. So just to be here and educate the public, I might sell and trade as a collector. I mean, you're a gun guy. Your dad was a World War II hero. You're a cop, a sniper, a DEA guy. I mean, we're allowed to go and sell guns here. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So anyway, Alex, to make a long story short, I left the courtroom on the first, and I called my mom, just 84 years old, Alex, and she says, son, you probably could beat this case if you wanted to, but you know what? It's going to take forever, and I don't have that long. And if you do lose, you'll be going away for about 7 years, so I won't be around, and I want you to be out. So I went back in there, and I pled guilty to the two counts. It was a five-year count each. So that was it, And then I come up to sentences on the 22nd of this month, and I put my letters in like everybody else has, and, the professors, law enforcement guys, professors, you name it. I put about eight letters in there, a character reference, which were great. And I went up there, and the judge, said that he was going to sentence me to the minimum of the guidelines, which was 37 months. And I said, he didn't take it for granted, my post-traumatic stress disorder or anything else like that. I mean, and I wrote him a letter also, and I said, whatever it is, and, I need to... if you're going to sentence me, then fine. And I argued my points. I had five issues I needed to argue on him, and I did. And basically he objected to all of them and sentenced me to 37 months in a medical facility, Alex. So I'll be in a medical facility somewhere for 3 years, and I'm trying to get my attorney, you know.
Well, thank God you're not going to be in general population.
Well, that's the big plus on it, Alex. And, you know, the thing about it is I got to appeal my sentence, and I got 10 days to do that. And if anybody can help me, just go to my email address, which is powderburns@prodigy.net, and I'll email you right back, you know, for some assistance. But, you know, Alex, I believed in the judicial system, and for some reason, I mean, it was I got, you know, nothing. I'm 59 years old, Alex. Never been in trouble before in my life. 20 years of federal law enforcement, being a teacher, being an activist, being everything that I could have done for my country. And I got 37 months. So,
well, I want to stop, and we got plenty of time, and we'll keep it to about 45 after if you can do that. Shelly,
yes,
but I mean, we may not hear from you for a while, but we want to try to do this appeal, and I mean, if phone calls, letters, whatever will work, or monetary. And I hate to go to my audience. I don't usually do this last hour for a senator, you know, in Minnesota with Jesse Ventura, this hour for Shelly. You know, I mean, we're just doing what we can here.
And I know, Alex. I appreciate that.
No, Shelly, we appreciate you, but I want to try to explain something to people here.
Okay.
Shelly sounds very resigned now to this, and, you know, he's a real man and a real hero and a patriot, but he's not even telling you today what he told you 6 months ago or 5 months ago here on the show. He was clearly set up, just like Randy Weaver. This person kept coming to him saying, please buy these 13 guns or whatever the number was. Please, 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 I'll give you a deal almost for nothing. And Shelly needs money. I mean, Shelly's living in a trailer, taking care of his kids, a school teacher in South Texas, makes almost nothing. He's medically disabled. You know, he's been in all this combat over and over again. And I mean, I happen to know, Shelly didn't have a lot of money. And so, you know, well, yeah, I'll take these guns and sell them. You know, that's totally legal, but it's how they play the game. So let's talk about, it's important for folks to know in your case, you beat the last fraud. And this all came down on you because you were on national TV, on Nightline, everywhere else exposing government drug dealing. I mean, you clearly were set up. And then the fact that you beat them and they came back at you, I mean, I want to hear about the arrest and everything that happened.
Yeah, well, basically, that's what it was. You know, the guy who sold me the guns was an individual who did the straw purchase. You know, Alex, he was never arrested till a few months ago because I threatened to address the issue with the judge, and they went out and arrested him. But I don't know if they'll dismiss the case on him now or not. I would feel that they probably would do that, and because he set me up and got me. But you know, he's the individual who actually did the straw purchases, and not me. And he sold them to me, and I just sold the guns. And bottom line is, I beat him on the first thing, and now I need to go back and file the appeal on my sentencing, which is, you know, I had 2 hours arguing with the judge, and he gave me, I think, some pretty good leeway on evidence for appeal. And if I do appeal that, I'll probably go down to maybe 10 levels on the federal guidelines, which means I would qualify for probation. But most important, Alex, most important than anything else, I was told by the government that I would not lose my benefits. And after checking with Social Security, with the Department of Justice, Office of Personnel Management, and the Veterans Administration, I will lose my benefits. If I am incarcerated in a federal facility for a felony, I will lose all benefits, which means leaves my family out in the cold.
Well, let's be clear here. And I've looked at these cases. Normally, somebody is selling a couple of, quote, guns that were straw purchase at gun shows. You hadn't even done that. You had them at your house.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about maybe probation, maybe plea bargain down to nothing. I mean, hardcore murderers are spending, you know, a couple years in prison. Home invasion people are spending 6 months a lot of times. But here you are with this sparkling record, commendations for President George H.W. Bush. It's like they threw the book at Campos and those other guys, and they almost kill them in prison. They love burning cops, man,
well,
in the system.
The problem with that, Alex, and I will, to me, this is a death sentence because of my health issues. Whether it's 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, you know, I went up there and I looked for a headstone already. And I went up there and I did my obituary because I don't think I'm going to survive those 3 years in
Carson. You have a lot of medical problems. If you want to talk about those, people know. We can talk about them on the other side. They ride back with Sully Costello and Jason Berman.
On September 11th, 2001, along with hundreds of my fellow troops, I went to Ground Zero, and we knew what to do. Or at least we thought we did.
Truth Rising is a breakthrough 9/11 film that finally gives first responders a platform to tell their story.
Whitman, EPA director, on the 18th made a statement that the air was safe to breathe.
This film follows the growing momentum of 9/11 Truth as brave souls throughout the world take action against their global masters.
He had his hand over the radio while he was getting a countdown. He takes his hand off and you hear 3, 2, 1, and it was boom, 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 boom.
This is an emergency transmission worldwide. Download Truth Rising at prisonplanet.tv and aggressively spread it worldwide, or order the DVD at Infowars.com. If we don't expose the government-sponsored terror, they're going to commit more acts and bring in martial law.
Well, Shelley's a great guy. He was just thanking the listeners to me during the break. Without the 5,000 or whatever it was, surprised it wasn't more, that got out there to him, he wouldn't even have had any defense and would have gotten many, many years in jail. And again, when they arrested him on the side of the road, oh, you're the TV guy that says, how dare you be against the drug war? And they took his book and screamed at him on the side of the road when the stupid state policeman here in Texas doesn't know that Danny Romero, that does his website for him, and Sulla Castillo and all the people that are exposing the phony drug war are just, out there taking a risk to do that. And, the website, of course, is, what is it, powderburns.com?
It's .org, powderburns.org.
Yeah, powderburns.org. And I take a risk saying this. I take a risk doing this here on air. The other people like Danny and others that have supported Selly take a risk. Selly, took a huge risk and got all sorts of threats. I remember you 2 years ago on the show saying, I've had threats. They're telling me they're going to set me up. And we're going to keep you over and talk about your appeal and how folks can help you and the medical issues. But, I want people to understand what you've gone through in this saga exposing government drug dealing. Sulla Castillo.
Yeah, well, I've exposed it from the get-go, from the human rights violations by the CIA and down in Central America. And a lot of people will say, well, that happened back in the 80s. Why the issue still going on? Well, what a lot of people don't realize, Alex, the same people that were at the White House at that time period are still working at the White House, like Negroponte and Abrams and other people there. They're still running this administration, and it's very important because they're using the same blueprints that they used back in the 80s with the war in Iraq or with covert operations and all kinds of issues here with our civil liberties. And I've been exposing this from the very get-go, and the people did tell me that they were going to set me up, and I didn't believe them because I believed in the judicial system. And basically, I got nailed, and I just could not believe it. I got arrested. I got thrown with 100 of the worst criminals in Texas. Can you imagine if one of them would have found out what I had done for a living, And they didn't even take my 6-inch blade from me. And I had it with me all day. And thank God I didn't get hurt.
You're saying the police, when they threw you back in there, let you keep your knife?
Yes, not only that, but let me keep my $200 I had in my pocket. And I was not given my medication, although they did have my medication, but they didn't give it to me. So I felt that, I was being set up to get whacked and or killed or whatever because, this is a federal facility. I mean, how is it possible that they didn't search me? And I kept waiting for them to, search me and do everything they had to do. But I called them several times and they just kept saying, wait.
Take my knife.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say that because then the other guys would have probably tried to rush me and try to get the knife from me,
Oh, but, I understand. Tell us about the second arrest, because the judge throws out the first one. Explain why that setup was thrown out.
Well, it was set up because there's a case law called Polk versus U.S. and they basically charged me with the wrong count, and my attorney beat that, and finally, they told them that they were going to have to dismiss the case, but they would not dismiss my case until I pled out to the two new counts. So it was, I didn't even have time to read the whole agreement that I was playing out to. And the reason that I, one of the other reasons that I pled out was because the U.S. attorney told me, if you plead out to this, you will not lose your benefits. And then he addressed the court because the judge wanted to find out why the case was being dismissed and I was being charged with the other two. And he stood up and he told the judge, you know, he's taking this plea because he won't lose his benefits with, you know, on this plea.
Well, so, I just want to thank everybody that has helped you, all the listeners.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Ted Anderson having you on, Kevin Booth exposing, you know, all the information that you brought forward,
yeah.
Danny Romero doing your website, everybody, but especially the listeners. And when we come back, we got a long segment. I want Burmese to be able to pop in. I want to talk about how people can write letters to the appeals court. You know, how they can, you know, help you in other ways. Give out your email address. You were telling me off air that's the best place to specifically contact you if people want to, again, just if they feel called to help you, a great patriot who went public on government drug dealing. Give out that email address.
Yes, sir. It's Powder Burns, plural, with an S, Powder Burns at Prodigy, PRODIGY.net. Or you can call me at 956-345-5770. Once again, 956-345-5770.
All right, we're going to come back and get more into the case and where this is going and then talk about government narcotics trafficking with that CIA aircraft a few months ago crashing with 3.3 tons of pure cocaine on a CIA aircraft. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Shelley Castillo is our guest.
Cascadia Public Radio.
I know we've got phone calls holding, and Sully's going to leave us here in about 10 minutes. We'll go to your calls. Burmese, you want to run out and find that Rothschild clip you keep talking about so John can play it? You reminded me about that. Sully, what was it like to learn that another CIA aircraft crashed in Mexico with 3.3 tons of pure cocaine? And, of course, that means it's coming directly from the source. And it turned out it was one of the torture aircraft the CIA was using for kidnapped people in the U.S. to fly them out of the country and fly drugs back in. I mean, did that surprise you to see that add to the list of hundreds of times that they've been caught with the cocaine and heroin in their hands?
Well, no, not at all, because that's how they support their covert operation. That's how they did it in Central America. You know, they ran those drugs from South America into the U.S. for guns and brought them back. And, you know, you go back to the Vietnam War, Alex, you know, when they were smuggling heroin in body bags. So, you know, there have always been consistency in the evidence of our government being complicit in drug trafficking. So it didn't surprise me at all when I heard about that plane going down in Mexico that at one time or another belonged to the CIA. So, you know, it's they've been doing business like that for many, many, many years. And they're continuing to do so they can run the special ops in whether Mexico or Central America or back to Iraq.
Now, you said 5 years ago on this show that they were using former Latin American Death Squad commanders and new recruits in Iraq. It came out 2 years later in the mainstream news, not just in Latin America, but in the West. You also talked about thousands being killed every few months in Mexico, total drug war with CIA and bank-backed government, at war with real cartels that you said, from memory, about 20% of the business is theirs, 80% U.S. government. And now all of that's blown wide open with the State Department saying the Mexican border with Texas is the most dangerous place in the world, worse than the West Bank. 2,000 deaths so far this year just on the Texas-Mexico border. 2,000. I mean, it is just out of control. What is behind that now, and can you tell us what's coming in the future in case you do go to prison? We don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, what's coming in the future, Alex, is they're going to start taking out a lot of the federal agents. For example, ATF. ATF has gone rogue warriors in the border here, and they're just arresting people, leaving the gun shows and this and that. And what's going to happen is they're going to start taking these guys out because they buy the weapons here in the U.S. And you know what, Alex? the majority of the weapons are going into Mexico. They're going to the military because the military has now built what is known as paramilitary, just like they did in Colombia. They're building them in Mexico. So they're mercs. They're going out and having scrimmages with the cartels. So they need the weapons for their own organization. And basically, that's what they're doing. Just remember that the military's got those 50 cals and so forth, and they're nothing compared to the cartels. So the military is heavily, heavily involved in drug trafficking into the U.S., and, you know, they ship, you know, a lot of weapons and a lot of money into Mexico via the border. And of course, there's no exception. There's a couple of ATF agents that are on the payroll, a couple of one FBI, I think, and several DEA agents who've been working for the cartels for many, many years, and they're still doing it. So they get intelligence. They know when what's coming down the pipeline and who's being targeted and so forth. So, you know, it's very well organized, but there's a lot of competition and a lot of freelancers, and that's what when people are getting whacked. And it's still going.
We just lost him. Let's get him back on the line there. That's why they don't want him out. And by the way, he's been on Frontline. He's been on Nightline. He's been on Dateline. You can go to his website and see all those clips. I mean, it's just amazing that he's done all of this, went public, and he was there with Oliver North as they were loading the cocaine on the planes in Elopongo. And then I can have Terry Reid on, who's CIA, at Nina with Bill Clinton and all them. And you know, he's there just kind of running, you know, keeping the aircraft in order. He'd done that and been a pilot. And he was one of the trainers for the new CIA guys. And he was watching the cocaine land on the other end. And this is pure cocaine. I mean, it's coming directly from the source. And what they do in Colombia is, and this is even on our news, the U.S. spray planes in the war on drugs only spray the communist-owned coca. They don't spray this side. And I've talked to, and it's been in the news as well, but a lot of troops separately, not just in the news, have been in Afghanistan where it's eightfold what it was in 2001, and it's about double the previous record. It was only fourfold the previous record. So it's eight times. Heroin is just flooding Europe, flooding Asia, flooding the United States, super cheap, get everybody addicted, just like the British brought down China that way. And I've talked to the troops who were there, and they say, yeah, we go and we guard poppy fields, and then they even have official stories to lie to them. You know, they'll be there for a month, and then they say, okay, now we're rotating you out. We're going to destroy these. And people ask, well, aren't we destroying these? Oh, no, that'll be destroyed later. And then they'll rotate back through and then be told, no, those were harvested. So our troops are there guarding, sitting on top of the opium. That's why they're there. Sully, can you speak to that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. They, you know, we go in Mexico, in Colombia, in Peru, in Bolivia. I remember at one time or another, we had the best satellite photos of all the coca plantations, the hectares and so forth. And we never sprayed them. We only sprayed a small amount to put on a dog and pony show. And every year we have a bigger production of cocaine coming into the U.S. And then heroin in Afghanistan, the same thing. Now we control Afghanistan and we've got the biggest production harvest of heroin coming into the U.S. So it's got to tell you that the United States government is in complicit in the drug trade. Simple as that.
I mean, how much more obvious, Sully Costello, does it have to get for people?
Well, basically what happens now, Alex, it's now one in three of the immediate family, they're either using or selling drugs. So it's affecting the families, and it's destroying the families. And basically that's why we have a lot of one-parent family, you know, and their parents are going to jail, and
listen,
their brothers and uncles and everybody's going to jail.
I knew gorgeous girls, smart, the you know, best in school, turned into total crack whores. I knew, had great friends, handsome, smart football players, ruined. And the amount of poison that's in illegal drugs, when you decriminalize it, all that poison isn't added to them. And like the methamphetamine, it's the poison in it to make it because they're using other ingredients. I mean, before drugs were illegal, this country was a lot better, weren't it? I mean, bottom line, Sully.
Exactly. And, you know, we're continuing. That's why, you know, just remember one thing, Alex. We spend billions of dollars in source countries like Colombia and Peru or Afghanistan to try to stop this so-called war on drugs, too. And it doesn't work. It has never worked. Law enforcement has never worked. We got over 40 years of experience that has not worked. So the answer and the solution it's got to be education, prevention, and treatment. As a member of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, you know, we need to educate the public that, you know, we got to do something to stop prohibition from on especially on marijuana and so forth, because it's hurting a lot of people, and our civil liberties are being stamped on.
You're absolutely right, Shelley. Jason, jump in there. Jason Burmes.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about the drug war with Jesse Ventura, and it just made me think to make the point that they do like people convicted of smaller crimes, these smaller drug crimes, even marijuana is criminalized, to put people in the system into their privatized prisons so they can work for AT&T or Sprint for 39 cents an hour at slave wages and not have to outsource to third world countries. So for them, you know, it's a win-win. They're smuggling the stuff in dirt cheap. They're making a premium on it, and then the people that use it go to their privatized prisons to work slave labor for them. This system has to change, Alex.
And then all these good old boys go, good, make them criminals work. But it's right. I mean, you think somebody in India getting $2 an hour is taking your job. You think somebody in Mexico making $2 an hour is taking your job. Or here in the U.S. for $4, you know, some illegal immigrant. Well, forget them. The real threat to our jobs and is the 4 million behind bars, another 4 million in the system, working for slave labor, and they make people work in these prisons.
Oh yeah,
and people don't know they're doing a lot of the telemarketing. They're booking flights for people. They are taking over the industries right now.
Absolutely, and it's just incredible that the general populace is totally and completely ignorant to this fact. They really need to get involved and see what these private institutions are doing, how they interact with one another, and really how it is a control grid for the common man. You know, I had a couple friends, unfortunately, this year succumb to heroin addiction and have to go to rehab, and they're still struggling with it. And these are people I would have never thought, Alex, and it's just crazy to me. And, you know, we're not out there to help them. We're really out there to imprison them.
Well, I mean, the people shipping it in are the ones that are running the police, and there's no doubt of that. Everybody knows it. We're just tired of it. We're tired of your criminal activities. That's why I tell young people, don't ever use drugs that first time. And I'm not talking about a few beers or, you know, even somebody smoking marijuana. The problem is that brings you into cultures. It is a gateway to the stronger drugs. And what kills more people is prescription drugs and the Ritalin and the Prozac than all illegal drugs combined. You can look at those numbers. It's just staggering. But, you know, alcohol is very dangerous. Cigarettes are dangerous. You know, thank God I never got into hard drugs. I tried them once or twice and always hated the way they made me feel. But I've struggled with alcohol, cigarettes. I mean, I have a serious issue with those. Because, I mean, I'm like a ping pong. Not a lot of alcohol, but drink a few beers, smoke cigarettes. It's not good for me. You know, I get off of it, get back on it. So, I mean, imagine going to prison for cigarettes and beer. You know, but I mean, that's basically because cigarettes affect the same areas of the brain and has the, you know, in a CAT scan or a scan of the brain, it lights up the same areas as cocaine and heroin. Do we put cigarette smokers in prison, Sally?
Yeah. You know, it's just it's amazing how they're doing this. And, you know, one of the things I think that you might have missed, Alex, is the fact that once you're a convicted felon, you don't vote. So that's a good way of trying to suppress a lot of the people from voting.
They're also destroying the economy, so everybody's got to join the military.
Exactly.
Because that's all that's left is government jobs.
That's all there's left, and a lot of people are getting hurt by going into the military. And remember, they're looking for survival,
yeah,
and hoping that they won't get hurt. And once they do get hurt, they lose a limb or something, then they know they commit suicide.
Well, Shelley, let's give out, you're saying the best place for people is to email you at this address.
Right, at powderburns@prodigy.net. You can send your donations there because I do need to pay my attorney now, and I have to pay for that appeal on the sentencing. So if you please could help, and I would certainly appreciate it. And once again, you can go straight to my email address at powderburns@prodigy.net, or you can call me at 956-345-5770. And I certainly thank you, Alex, for what you're doing for me.
Well, Shelley, I mean, if you don't beat this, when will you be going into jail?
Well, the judge was great at giving me self-surrender March 5th. So he gave me plenty of time to take care of my family before I leave. So you know, I certainly do appreciate that the judge did give me that. And I,
well, they know they're sending an innocent person to jail for fake gun laws put into place by the drug-dealing government. So they can imprison American citizens and have a reason to harass
us. You know, Alex, I might be incarcerated, but I'll never be silent. You know, I'll do my activism from inside, and then when I get out, I'll do the same thing. I'll continue to educate the public, and basically that's the big answer to a lot of our problems. People are not aware of what's going on, whether it's with a drug issue or suppression of other stuff. But we need to educate the public, and you're certainly doing a great job on that.
Well, Sally, stay in touch with us as this unfolds and develops, and thanks for getting in touch with us.
Okay. Thank you so much, Alex, for having me.
You bet. Sally, you still there? Okay, great. He's gone. I thought he hung up. Yeah, and again, when it rains, it pours. This day is like, help this senator out, you know, help Sally Castillo out. You know, that's so many people we try to help. We try to be a platform, and we ask the listeners for a lot. You know, I only ask the listeners to support our sponsors and get our books and videos because this is not cheap. Doing this and operating here. And I want to get into this Rothschild news and a few other news stories at the end of the show. Looks like we're not going to have time to get to those calls. And Burmese, let's just set this up now. Let's have you fill in a full day one day this week and then maybe 1 or 2 hours the other day.
Okay.
Because I've got so much to get done. Plus, you're one of the few people out there who can really actually do the show well. We've had a lot of people fill in and do the show, done a great job, but you hold the internet numbers for use as a gauge, at, you know, at the closest to what I'm able to hold them at, and we use that as a gauge for the listeners. So that's certainly good to have you when you are here in town, and I can't wait till your studio is set up there in upstate New York, because then you can fill in on this show, and then maybe I'll have you some days when I'm out of town, and maybe Bob Dacey together or something. You know, go back and forth. That's a good mix. Speaking of funding. Our sponsors are how we pay for this show. And we're going to go to break here in a minute, come back and hit a few final news stories. But I want to tell you on air about who does make this show possible. This is what supports us, and we appreciate you doing that, especially in these hard times. But the other thing is I only get sponsors I believe in. And we have four big sponsors, eFoods Direct, Cola Blue, New Vitality, and Food Shortage USA.
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new two-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
I had the opportunity to speak to my 90-year-old grandmother at some length here recently, and she was talking about the Great Depression, and we were talking about the gas prices, the food prices, this economic uncertainty we're in, these, you know, really kind of perilous times. No one knows where we're headed or where we might end up. And she was reminded of the Great Depression and how in those days, folks who lived in the country did okay because they had chicken and eggs and they could grow gardens and can their food, but how difficult it was for people who lived in urban areas or in the cities because they didn't have the landscape for gardening or the know-how, and they didn't have the chickens and the livestock. So it was a lot different for them. Well, we know one thing's certain right now. We're headed into much higher prices on food, and there is a global food shortage. Now, what can you do to prepare? Do what I did. Sell some toys off in the garage. Go to the J. Michael Stevens eFoodsDirect.com company. Get some food and put it away and be safe. Put a little security in your life. You deserve security. Go to eFoodsDirect.com, eFoodsDirect.com, 1-800-409-5633. Put some food away. Do it now. 1-800-409-5633.
Days are you're here, finish up with what you were talking about, the banks.
Yeah, I was just mentioning how, you know, they threaten members of Congress by saying all these small banks are going to go under. We're going to have riots in the streets. We're going to have to put the military on the streets and declare martial law. No big deal. So please pass this bailout so we don't have to strong arm you. You know, but that is a strong arm tactic. It's unbelievable we stood up for it, Alex. It's unbelievable that not one person in the mainstream media even reported on that. Thank God for C-SPAN, because without it, we wouldn't even know these members of Congress had been threatened in private meetings.
Well, maybe they're with Al-Qaeda. You don't let the bankers have everything, you're with Al-Qaeda, boy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get rid of America, you're not patriotic.
You know, and speaking of bankers,
yeah, let's get into this.
Yeah, this is a good transition, because the Rothschild family is one of these massive banking families. And here it is. The Telegraph, one of the biggest papers in London.
Let me see all show, folks.
Yep. Telegraph, this isn't, I'm not reading this off Prison Planet or Infowars.com. This is mainline media. And let me just read the first couple paragraphs and we'll get into it and why it's important. Okay? Rather than the eclectic group of rich at play, the Shadow Chancellor in Europe, was unwittingly made privy to closely guarded relationship between Mendelssohn and the Rothschild family that spanned nearly two decades.
By the way, news, the media a decade ago would say the Rothschilds didn't exist.
Yeah, and now they're saying, oh, well, they have a two-decade relationship with the Parliament, you know? Absolutely. During this time, their business and personal lives had become entwined many times, including on this occasion with their mutual friend, the Russian billionaire Oleg Deripaska, and had forged a far stronger bond than Osborne.
But it turns out every time they bust an oligarch, it's really a Rothschild front in Russia.
Yeah, with university chum and host Nathaniel Rothschild. Now, why am I getting into this other than the fact that they're showing that the Rothschilds and the government have a huge relationship? Well, it was Nathaniel Rothschild that rolled on this shadow chancellor. Why? Now, what he's saying is, and, you know, John Harmon's got the clip. I don't know if we're actually going to be able to get
it. How long is that clip, Harmon?
About 5 minutes. But it basically states that Rothschild wrote in to one of the main papers, a letter to the editor, said that this billionaire in Russia was giving Mendelssohn and the shadow chancellor illegal funds, and he's trying to burn them. Why is he trying to burn them?
Well, we know because the oligarchs were fronts for the Rothschilds. That's come out in the Financial Times of London, and so they're now might be losing some control, probably trying to burn him.
Exactly. It makes me think that the shadow chancellor.
Well, we know that's happened before.
Yeah, it's probably going against one of their policies, and now
these guys fight with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the big.
Hey, is that clip up on InfoWars? We'll post that Rothschild clip. I got Aaron out there editing all this Willie video that's going up, but look for that this evening to go viral at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. You know what? When you fill in on the show tomorrow or Wednesday, play the clip.
Yeah, we will definitely play that clip. And again,
Harmon will have it.
Yes, John Harmon will have it. The great guy over at GCN.
Harmon and Burmy.
I love John. He does a great job for this network. Everybody here does a
bad Paul's job. Got a nickname. What is it? Hoosh? Hoosh, Burmy, Harmy.
What about Jacobson? We got a Robbie.
Robbie. And then there's we've got to give Ventura.
Ventura? Well, I don't want to give him a nickname.
Vinny.
He'll probably end up in my bedroom at 3 in the morning staring at me like a seal wood.
Of the stuff he's like, if you tell anybody what I've told you, just remember I will be in your bedroom years from now when you don't expect it. We don't get angry. We get even.
And we take our time. It doesn't have to be today, Alex. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It could be a week, a month, or a year from now.
You know how I deal with poachers? You know how I deal with poachers on my little lake?
I strap my 9mm to my side, and I go right up to him, Alex, and I let him know, this is a private lake. Who gave you permission to go here?
You know what happens if they give me crap?
I take their bike, Alex, and I bring it to the police.
I take their crap. I take them to the police myself. Hey, we're out of time. Rebroadcast with huge information. Jesse Ventura was on today and others starting right now on the web only at InfoWars.com. Back tomorrow live 11 to 4, Station 3 Airs everywhere. We appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.